I Was a Teenage Bigfoot. Takes place circa Deadbeat. There are times when, as a professional wizard, my vocation calls me to the great outdoors, and that night I was in the North Woods of Wisconsin with a mixed pack of researchers, enthusiasts, and, well, nerds.
"I don't know, man," said a skinny kid named Nash. "What's his name again?"
I poked the small campfire I'd set up earlier with a stick and pretended that they weren't standing less than 10 feet away from me. The forest made forest sounds, like it was supposed to. Full dark had fallen less than half an hour before.
"Harry Dresden," said Gary, a plump kid with a cell phone, a GPS unit, and some kind of video game device on his belt. "Supposed to be a psychic or something?"
He was twiddling deft fingers over the surface of what they call a smart phone these days. Hell, the damn things are probably smarter than me.
"Supposed to have helped Chicago PD a bunch of times. I'd pull up the internet references, but I can't get reception out here."
"A psychic?" Nash said. "How is anyone ever supposed to take our research seriously if we keep showing up with fruitcakes like that?"
Gary shrugged.
"Dr. Sinor knows him or something."
Dr. Sinor had nearly been devoured by an ogre in a suburban park one fine summer evening, and I'd gotten her out in one piece. Like most people who have a brush with the supernatural, she'd rationalize the truth away as rapidly as possible, which had led her to participate in such fine activities as tonight's Bigfoot expedition in her spare time.
"Gentlemen,"
Sinor said impatiently. She was a blocky, no-nonsense type, gray-haired and straight-backed. "If you could help me with these speakers, we might actually manage to blast a call or two before dawn." Gary and Nash both hustled over to the edge of the firelight to start messing about with the equipment the troop of researchers had packed in. There were half a dozen of them altogether, all of them busy with trail cameras and call-blasting speakers and scent markers and audio recorders. I pulled a sandwich out of my pocket and started eating it. I took my time about it. I was in no hurry. For those of you who don't know it, a forest at night is dark, sometimes pitch black. There was no moon to speak of in the sky, and the light of the stars doesn't make it more than a few inches into a mixed canopy of deciduous trees and evergreens. The light from my little campfire and the handheld flashlights of the researchers soon gave the woods all the light there was. Their equipment wasn't working very well. My bad, probably. Modern technology doesn't get on well with the magically gifted. For about an hour, nothing much happened beyond the slapping of mosquitoes and a lot of electronic noises squawking from the loudspeakers. Then the researchers got everything online and went through their routine. They played primate calls over the speakers and then dutifully recorded the forest afterward. Everything broke down again. The researchers soldiered on, repairing things, and eventually Gary tried wood knocking, which meant banging on trees with fallen limbs and waiting to hear if there was a response. I liked Dr. Sinor, but I had asked to come strictly as a ride-along, and I didn't pitch in with her team's efforts. The whole "let's find Bigfoot" thing seems a little ill-planned to me, personally. Granted, my perspective is different from that of non-wizards, but marching out into the woods, looking for a very large and very powerful creature by blasting out what you're pretty sure are territorial challenges to fight, or else mating calls, seems somewhat unwise. I mean, if there's no Bigfoot, no problem. But what if you're standing there screaming, "Bring it on," and find a Bigfoot? Worse yet, what if he finds you? Even worse, what if you were screaming, "Do me, baby," and he finds you then? Is it me? Am I crazy? Or does the whole thing just seem like a recipe for trouble? So anyway, while I kept my little fire going, the questionably wise Research Variety Act continued until after midnight. That's when I looked up to see a massive form standing at the edge of the trees in the very outskirts of the light of my dying fire. I'm in the 99th percentile for height myself, but this guy was tall. My head might have come up to his collarbone, barely, assuming I had correctly estimated where his collarbone was under the long, shaggy, dark brown hair covering him. It wasn't long enough to hide the massive weight of muscle he carried on that enormous frame, or the simple, disturbing, very slightly inhuman proportions of his body. His face was broad, blunt, with a heavy brow ridge that turned his eyes into mere gleams of reflected light.